Greetings and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean and the website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Today we are going to do part 2 of Revelation 17, and we're going to talk a little bit about the beast. Last week we talked about Mystery Babylon and gave kind of a different perspective, but it's became obvious to me that I need to make something clear in regards to Babylon the Great. And I thought I was clear about this last week, but apparently I wasn't. So let me add some clarity to this. The goal last week was to present a possibility that Babylon could be a nation in the Middle East, based on some of the Old Testament scriptures that I described. But I think some people took it as that I've abandoned my position that America is Babylon the Great, which would be contrary to about 10 to 12 videos that are on my channel right now. So I just wanted to be clear that the goal last week was to present another possibility, because I think all of these possibilities are valid, but I still believe that if we had to pick today, that the best fit, especially when you go read chapter 18, which we'll be doing next week, it becomes painfully obvious that it must be talking about the United States of America. And I will be pointing that out and those points out clearly next week when we read Revelation chapter 18. Now, I would love to believe that it's somewhere else. And I think that the position that I presented last week is a valid one and a reasonable one. And it's important to point these other positions out. However, what most people teach is that America is not found in Bible prophecy, that it'll just fade into the night. The most wealthy nation in the history of mankind, the nation that's responsible for bringing forth technologies and pharmakia and sexual immorality and pushing it throughout the entire world, that dominates the rest of the world economically through currency, through military, through banks, just so happens that it was an oversight on God's part to mention this nation that was present in the very last days. I don't believe that at all. And so I just wanted to make that clear that I'm not backing away from that, but I am a man. I can misunderstand things, I can misinterpret things, so it's always important to be watching and searching the scriptures to see if these things are so. And it's important to look at these things from all angles and not allow ourselves to be closed-minded, or we might fall into deception. As a matter of fact, I think Mystery Babylon has got more moving parts than just the United States of America. You know, it's kind of like everybody, I'll just use the rapture as an example. Everybody's got these different positions and they're all fighting with each other. And I'm like, what if everybody's right on some level? And the same way with Mystery Babylon, because people will be like, no, it's the Vatican. It's the Vatican. That's what makes the most sense. It's sitting on seven hills. And I'm like, yeah, that does make sense. But so does the American part. And maybe there's a spiritual element, a political element, and a economic element to the whole thing. And so maybe instead of arguing about it, maybe there's portions of it that we all have. And so anyway, today the goal is to talk about the beast. And so we can talk about America and Babylon next week when we look at chapter 18. Now, in regards to the beast, rather than act like I've got all the answers and know what all the kingdoms are that make up the beast, I thought I would just point out some bullet points and read a few scriptures, because you'll find conversations about this last time beast all throughout the Bible. You'll find it in this chapter, Revelation 17. You'll find it in chapter 13, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 12, some of the other prophetic books. So lots to study, all right? and we would need several weeks and several hours, and I'm going to be running down this in 20 minutes. So I'll say this. I think the beast will be made up of many nations around the world, specifically with 10 kings. I think it'll likely include some European nations, specifically the nations that were ruled by ancient Rome, which would also include some Middle Eastern nations. I think Turkey is a very important one to watch and its relationship with Europe. And so I just wanted to point that out right away. And let's just review some scriptures. We need to start with Daniel chapter 7. I want to just read some things about the beast so that it's in your mind, so you understand it. That way when it comes on the scene, you'll recognize it. So we'll read a couple scriptures from Daniel 7, a couple scriptures from Daniel 13. We'll finish with the rest of with Revelation 17, and we'll wrap it up from there. So in Daniel chapter 7, it says, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, I had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed." Yeah, that's right. "And he wrote the dream, and he told the sum of the matters." Verse 2. "Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion, and it had eagle's wings. And I beheld it till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this, behold, lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. And the beast had also four heads, and the dominion was given to it." Verse 7. "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by roots. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." And then I'm going to skip down to the interpretation real quick. We're going to skip down to verse 15. "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit and in the midst of my body, and in the visions of my head troubled me, and I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all these things. So he told me, and he made me know the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even ever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with its feet, and of the 10 horns that were on his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time of that saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are the 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Alright, so this beast is going to have 10 horns, which represent 10 kings, okay, and 10 kingdoms. There's going to arise out of them one that's diverse. The little horn we would think of as the Antichrist, and he's going to subdue three of the kings. That's what it means by the little horn came up and uprooted three. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the times and the laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth shall be given unto the people and the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto it is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. So Daniel gets the first vision about this, and we just pointed out what the ten horns meant and all of that. He also saw four beasts, you know, leopard, bear, lion, and then one that was really diverse from everything else. It had iron teeth, and it had brass nails, and it treaded down the entire earth, and it had, you know, it had ten horns, which represented ten kings, and that was the last day's beast. We need to move on to Revelation 13, and I know we covered Revelation 13 at one point, but I don't remember exactly what all I talked about. So I'm just going to read the first few verses dealing with the beast. Revelation 13:1 says this, John speaking, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. And upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as a mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Let me tell you what the common belief is about the bear, the leopard, and the lion. And I'm going to read a commentary from F.B. Meyer. It says, "This in chapter enumerates the succession of the world empires and rulers which bridge the gulf of centuries from captivity to the second advent. The lion represents Babylon, whose cruel and mighty kingdom was animated by marvelous intelligence." See, I used to think, and I still think this is a possibility, that the final beast would be made up of these other kingdoms. You know, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, and that's still possible. But what the scripture actually says is that it was like unto. And so what I think it might be saying is it had the same features as these other beasts throughout history. So it'll be like a lion. So just like Babylon, we're talking about ancient Babylon, was cruel and was a mighty kingdom and was animated by marvelous intelligence. He goes on to say the bear, Persia, which would be modern-day Iran. The leopard, Greece, under Alexander the Great. Now, the leopard, Alexander the Great, he conquered lots and lots of land very, very swiftly and very, very quickly. And then he went away very, very quickly. The four wings represent that he died, and it was his land, his kingdom was divided up amongst four generals. That's pretty commonly known as a historical fact. That's what that's talking about. And so this last beast will have those characteristics. It'll be brutal like the ancient Babylon. It'll be swift and fast, and it'll conquer very quickly and easily, like Alexander the Great. He goes on to say, "And the fourth beast with iron teeth is Rome. The ten horns are the 10 kings, and these probably represent great European kingdoms which have succeeded or may yet succeed to the heritage of the Roman Empire." That's the commentary from F.B. Meyer. I don't know how long ago it was that he wrote this, but here's what I've noticed. When I go back through and I read commentary, or I read early church fathers, The common theme is Rome when they're dealing with the beast. They believe Rome, and dealing with the Roman Catholic Church as well when talking about the great harlot who rides the beast. That is a very, very common thread. The saying all roads lead to Rome is true. And I think there's an element of that for sure. No doubt about it. I just don't think it'll be exactly like what people think. It probably won't be called the Roman Empire, but you're going to see a uniting. And you need to be paying attention when you see 10 kings really come on the scene who are prominent. When you see somebody come on the scene who creates peace, who, I mean, I'm telling you, anytime I see leaders come on the scene and they promote Christianity, and they say they stand for Christians and all of this, and, you know, that's one thing that makes me nervous about Donald Trump. And by the way, I'm not making any presumptions about this. I'm just pointing out something since we're talking about this. You know, he verbally stands for Israel and stands for Christians and says he's going to stand up for them and their values and all of this. But then at the same time, he's working really hard on this peace deal in the Middle East. And it looks as though maybe he's going to make some ground and get a peace deal done. And so when I see all those things falling in place like that, I get a little nervous. We should also remember that there's a second beast who comes up out of the earth instead of out of the sea, who has two horns like a lamb and speaks like a dragon. Again, I'm not saying anything about Trump in that regard. I'm just saying anytime I see a leader come on the scene who's looks like somebody that people, you know, especially like Israel, really looks at Trump as like this, you know, great man because he's standing for Israel, which we all want and all love. But at the same time, I have to take a step back and go, that could turn into something else in the period of time. And so the point of the scriptures, again, a point of the prophecy in the scriptures is so when we see it, we can recognize it. Anyway, I went off on a rabbit trail there. And, okay, and it's verse 3, and I saw one of its heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, a lot of people interpret this as, the Antichrist is going to get shot in the head, and then he's going to be brought back to life. That's not what I see. It's talking about one of the heads, which I believe is talking about one of the kings or kingdoms that make up the beast will be wounded, and then it'll revive. Verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon. This is what kills me. They worshiped the dragon which gave power to the beast. We know who the dragon is, right? Satan. Now that seems absurd, but look at Satan worship today. Baal worship today. Man, I never would have dreamt that we'd see the things that we're seeing in regards to people aligning themselves with the dragon. And openly. Hollywood. The music industry. Television and in literal stars coming out saying, yeah, I sold my soul to the devil, and, you know, the Arch of Baal being moved around all over the Western world, and just, it's amazing. It says, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and the power was given to him to continue for 42 months, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Remember, this person's going to blaspheme God. And this beast system is going to blaspheme God. To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him to all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, says all that dwell upon the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now let's go ahead and finish off with Revelation 17. Starting, because we talked about the great whore last time. starting with verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So we see that imagery again. Basically, believers, this won't be confusing. You'll recognize it. You'll see it. Those who are not written, they're going to behold the beast and they're going to marvel at it and they're going to worship it. And that's what the scriptures are saying. It says, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So the beast at some point was, it's currently not, but yet it will be again. I think we're dealing with a revived Roman Empire, the fourth beast. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now the woman is the harlot. She sits on seven mountains. And, that's one of the reasons why people believe, we're dealing with the Roman Catholic Church, something along those lines. And that's a very reasonable thought. Again, I think it's Mystery of Babylon. It's got more moving parts than just the one thing. And when we read through chapter 18 tomorrow, next Tuesday, you're going to see what I'm talking about. Verse 10. And there are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was, and is not, and even though he is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and go into perdition. So basically what's going on here is, through history, this is what scholars will say, there's been, Rome would be the sixth kingdom. The seventh, they'll say, is the Turkish Empire, which then went away, and it'll come back and be revived, is one of the interpretations I've heard of this. I don't know about that because I look through history and I'm like, well, even after that, there was a British Empire, and, you could even argue that there's been an American Empire, and you could argue there's been a Chinese one and a Russian one. So, I don't know how that all fits together. A lot of it's speculation, but I think, again, it'll be one of those things that makes sense when it's seen. Verse 12, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as king 1 hour with the beast. So the ten kings will be a short thing, right? It'll be one of those things we see, ten kings, and then they'll all agree to give their power over to this beast system, the beast government, and these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, which the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. It's another, I've always used that as an example of why we could be talking about America, because America is made up of a melting pot of multiples of people and nations and tongues. Verse 16, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, ye shall hate the whore, and make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath putteth on their heart to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And that is our conversation about the beast. A couple things I want to point out real quick. The reason why I say to pay attention to Turkey. At one point, that area was controlled by the Roman Empire. And that also is where you would have found, according to the research I've done, and if my research is correct, that's where you would have found the Church of Pergamos, which we read about in Revelation chapter 2. And here's what Revelation 2 verse 13 says, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hold, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. And so I'd be paying attention to that, because Jesus goes out of his way to make something pointed out to us, where Satan's seat is. And you can go research Pergamos. It looks like it's somewhere along the border of Turkey. It used to be part of the Roman Empire. Jesus goes out of his way to say that's where Satan's seat is. I'll be paying attention to that area as we move in further into these last days and as things develop. One last thing to point out, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a statue. And if you remember, the statue had a head of gold, and his chest was silver, and his belly was, and thighs were bronze, his legs were iron, and his feet were iron and clay, feet and toes. Okay, the toes representing ten, the ten kings. So let's just go through this real quick. Daniel gives the interpretation, and then history fills in the gaps for us very clearly. The head of gold, which represented the Empire of Babylon, which Nebuchadnezzar was king. The silver chest was the next kingdom that came on the scene, which was made up of the Medes and the Persians, who conquered and supplanted Babylon. Then the third thing to come on the scene was made out of bronze, which represented, this was the belly and the thighs, which represented Alexander the Great, who came and he swallowed up Persia. This would be called the Greco-Macedonian Empire. The iron legs was Rome, and Rome split into two kingdoms, and were made, you know, that after Alexander's death. And the legs signify the east and western divisions that characterized the late Roman Empire. And then the feet are still made out of iron, but they're also mixed with clay, and they'll be unstable, and they won't bond well together. And this was what people believe will be the final Roman Empire, which will be made up of 10 kings, some strong, some weak. So there's all the imagery and what's commonly believed, along with some of my own beliefs and thoughts on this. And that's what I expect to see. And that's, you know, again, prophecy is not so we know the future exactly, but so that when we see it, we'll know that God is God, a God who dares predict the future. And it's so that we can be prepared and understand what's going on, so we won't be fooled. That's why the scriptures say, you know, everyone will be deceived and they'll worship the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, who were written in there from the foundations of the earth. God already knew before he even created everything if you were going to be his child. And so there you have it. There's our conversation about the beast. And there's many more avenues we could go, but I think that's a great summary of it. And hopefully that gives you a little bit of understanding if you've never heard any of this stuff before. Next week, we're going to be doing Revelation chapter 18. We'll just be working through it. It speaks for itself. I'll just put it that way. And I have a lot of teachings on Babylon the Great that you can go look at. You can just go to my YouTube channel and type Babylon into the search and you'll find them. But like I said last week, I wanted to point out that there's valid reasons to believe that Babylon could emerge somewhere in the Middle East, but obviously a lot would have to change in order for that to happen. So we'll be looking at, again, next week, the position that I believe is most likely and that fits today. And it's not a position that I like. It's just one that makes sense. That's all I got for you. Until maybe later this week when we do another podcast. I hope that you guys have been blessed by this. I'd love to know about it in the comments below. Feel free to share your opinions. Just remember to do it in love. And don't come to the comments telling me how I'm wrong and you've got it all figured out. But you're welcome to come and, you know, say, hey, this is something I've been thinking, something I'm seeing. You know, that kind of conversation is important because we can all have that amongst ourselves. But the people who come with venom in their mouth and they know it all, I'd rather you just not even come to the comments at all. With that said, let's close out the podcast. Peace and grace be with all of you. God bless.